First lesson, friends, is from 2 Timothy. Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 2, the first 10 verses. Follow along in your own Bibles, if you will, or simply in your hearing, receive the Word of God. Paul says, "You then, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me through many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. Share in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving in the army gets entangled in everyday affairs. The soldier's aim is to please the enlisting officer. And in the case of an athlete, no one is crowned without competing according to the rules. It is the farmer who does the work who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in all things. Remember Christ, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." The word of the Lord, my friends. We continue now in the spirit of truth. Genesis 41, we pick up back in the story of Joseph, beginning at verse 14. Oh, it is tempting. All right, I'm going to go all the way 14 to 44. Why would you be the most vocal groan for that? I know your voice. No, it wasn't Marilyn. Just for that? No, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. All right, 14. "Then Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was hurriedly brought out of the dungeon where he was imprisoned," friends. "When he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said that you, when you hear a dream, can interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, "It is not I. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream, I was standing on the banks of the Nile, and seven cows, fat and sleek, came up out of the Nile and fed in the reed grass. Then seven other cows came up after them, poor, very ugly, and thin. Never had I seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The thin and ugly cows ate up the first seven fat cows. But when they had eaten them, no one would have known that they had done so, for they were still as ugly as before. Then I awoke. I fell asleep a second time, and I saw in a dream seven ears of grain, full and good, growing on one stalk, and seven ears, withered and thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprouting after them. The thin ears swallowed up the seven good ears. But when I told it to the magicians, there was no one who could explain it to me." Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. The seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, as are the seven empty ears blighted by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is, as I told Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. After them, there will arise 7 years of famine. And all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land. The plenty will no longer be known in the land because of the famine that will follow, for it will be very grievous. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that that the thing is fixed by God. God will shortly bring it about. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a man who is discerning and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land and take one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt during the seven plenteous years. Let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and lay up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities. Let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine and that are to befall the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine." The proposal pleased Pharaoh and all of his servants. Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find anyone else like this, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all of this, there's no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only with regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I've set you over all the land of Egypt." Removing his signet ring from his hand, Pharaoh put it on Joseph's hand. He arrayed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in the chariot of his second in command, and they cried out in front of him, "Bow the knee." Thus he set himself over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh. And without your consent, no one shall lift up hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." Now you can groan for that one. Things are always going on, friends. Things are always going on that are deeper or greater than face value, right? I mean, this is one of these great life lessons that is very useful to know as we try to relate to other people, especially those who seem to be acting in difficult or troubling ways. No doubt you have at some point in your lives run across people who seem to be maybe a little more rude or emotionally charged than you might expect. Maybe someone's lashed out at you or somebody else around you for really no apparent reason. We all carry a lot in our lives that we don't really show. We carry burdens and hurts and weights and sorrows and injuries and struggles and all kinds of things that we really don't want to share, but those things get worked out in our day-to-day exchanges. Everyone should have a sense of what others might be dealing with, not that you might truly know, but that we all carry things that can make the day-to-day more difficult. When someone behaves in this way that doesn't make sense, it's probably more to that situation than we know. In love, it's also okay to ask. Life is full of layers. The Bible is also a layered story, just like our lives. This is actually really beautifully displayed, depicted in today's lesson. On the one obvious hand, we're back to Joseph today, yay, as he helps to move the Hebrew people closer to their time of living in Egypt. They have to get in Egypt. He's going to get them there. That is where we're headed. Joseph is the key figure who gives his family this new home in Egypt, that land of Goshen. This is Joseph's role in Scripture, his purpose. And in order to have that influence, he has to become Pharaoh's dream interpreter and then his administrator. This is a crucial moment when Joseph is given the power and authority to bring his people to Egypt. But there's also so much more going on. God loves the little people. And I'm not talking about hobbits, munchkins, or leprechauns. God has a profound habit of reaching to the people who are little in life and giving them big places in God's glory. Joseph is a nobody. He's a Hebrew slave living in Egypt and a convicted prisoner, someone who has offended the Egyptian authority. Joseph should have wasted away in that prison. No one should have given him a second thought the rest of his life. He is a nobody of nobodies. The only way I think he could have been actually less of a person in that culture would have been for him to be a woman. Sorry, ladies. He could have been a woman in that culture, in another culture. Oh, wait a minute. That's Esther. Or how about a female slave living in another country? Oh, wait. Yeah, that's Hagar. Or how about a female pagan prostitute who ends up in Jesus' family tree? Oh, yeah, that's Rahab. Oh, or how about a foreign pagan widow with no hope for a future, but also ends up in Jesus' family tree? Oh, wait, that's Ruth. God, again and again and again, finds people who should be near worthless and gives them fantastic value. The Bible's full of them. Joseph is a nobody. But Pharaoh is the biggest somebody you can be. Pharaoh is the most powerful person in the most powerful nation in the world. Pharaoh holds all the cards, calls all the shots, makes all the decisions, and controls all of life around him. Until God completely wrecks Pharaoh with this dream. Two dreams, to be exact. It's almost humorous. No one could have gained Pharaoh's attention unless Pharaoh allowed it. But God walks right into Pharaoh's mind and shows him something he cannot unsee. These dreams terrify, confound, and occupy Pharaoh with such force that he has become powerless. You have to understand how scary this picture is. The Nile was sacred to the Egyptians, their source of life, hope, and prosperity. It was the pillar of their existence. Now it looked like the mighty river was diseased. It was a place of death. Vibrant life was swallowed up by horror. Pharaoh was scared silly. In fact, you know how bad it had to be for Pharaoh to bring Joseph to help. The most powerful man around was reaching for the least powerful man for help. Pharaoh is wallowing in helplessness. Empire is powerless. He stands helplessly before a Hebrew prisoner. Restless, sleepless, Pharaoh is worn with worry, so overcome with angst that he gives the future of his entire empire to an unknown Joseph's hands. This is the glory of God that turns the tables, who lifts the small, the weak, the poor, and who makes the last first and the first last. This is the God of the little person. God made the most powerful, the strongest, the richest, the most famous person in the nation completely helpless, powerless, and ineffective in order to show us how things in God's kingdom work. And there is so much more, because not only does Joseph become the most powerful person in Egypt in the process, he does this through the aid, explaining the dreams. He becomes the most powerful person. Yes, I did say that. He becomes the most powerful person. I'm happy to argue that while technically Pharaoh is still Pharaoh and could technically do away with Joseph, Joseph is the one who has the real power, because he controls the future and the well-being of the nation and Pharaoh. Pharaoh could get rid of Joseph, but he could not, since Joseph is his savior too. It would be idiocy, lunacy, suicide to get rid of Joseph. Pharaoh needs Joseph far more than Joseph needs Pharaoh. Yes, God has done it again. The weakest has become the strongest. The little has become great. That greatness has paved the way for God's salvation to be displayed. With Joseph in place, the story can continue. It really is a very interesting turn of events for Joseph. How far would you be willing to go for a stranger? How much would you be willing to do for another? How much would you be willing to give for an enemy? The Egyptians are not Joseph's people. They are not his family. He ends up making a home there and having an Egyptian family of his own. But at this point in the Joseph story, he's still an outsider, a slave, a criminal, a nobody. I wonder if part of Joseph was angry at the Egyptians for keeping him in chains. I wonder, you know, even in Potiphar's house, Joseph was still a slave. He was not free to pick up and leave. He had to do whatever Potiphar said. He was not there by choice. He was forced to live by the wishes of someone else. He was also imprisoned under false pretenses. There's so much here that would make Joseph resent the Egyptians. There's so much here to make Joseph not want to help the Egyptians. But according to the text, Joseph doesn't seem to skip a beat. It looks like he's happy for the opportunity to help them. He seems to be pleased to help them. This is interesting. Maybe even strange. So are we strange people? This is a sermon that should make any one of us nervous for a number of reasons. First, if we consider ourselves among the powerful, the strong, the accomplished, the together, the well-established, maybe the ones that don't need God all that much, then this is a stark reminder of how much stock God puts into that idea. So much of human success is dust in the wind to God. Instead, God's heart and God's hand goes to the ones we would never expect and would never pick as servants in faith. But if we see ourselves as little people, maybe even nobodies, in the grand scheme of the world, maybe the ones who really feel the need for God's help, then there is a word of hope here. God does know you. God does value you. God does call you. You are the ones who are most important in God's expanding ministry. You are the ones who have the greatest potential to show the world the power of God in the kingdom of Christ. You are the first string players here waiting to be called into the game if you are not in the game right now. The challenge is that the game is not going to look like you imagine. Joseph did not know what God had in store for him until he got into Pharaoh's space and heard Pharaoh's dream. We cannot know how God will want to use us in these beautiful and glorious ways until it happens. But we have to be ready and open, don't we? And that's the idea from the passage in 2 Timothy. There's nothing easy about this road in faith. Paul describes the life of service and what he's willing to do to be useful to God. He invites Timothy to follow in that example. Joseph has had to endure all kinds of trouble just to be in the right place, at the right time, in the right circumstances, to be that little person that God could exalt. None of us is born to be ready to be ministers, the ministers that God needs us to be. It takes life and all of its struggles to bring us to that point. It takes faith to walk with confidence into that service. When we feel small and weak and like we are a nobody, then we can know that God is not done with us. God is absolutely not done with any of us. We pray for God's glory. We look for God's glory. We wait for God's glory. We work for God's glory. The beauty of our Lord is with us, friends. The beauty of our Lord is with all of us, especially the little people, by the grace of God. And to God be the glory. Amen. It